Well, good morning, girls and boys. It's nice to be back with you. I have missed a number of assemblies because I caught the COVID virus, and then off you went on holiday for a few days as well. But now the holidays are over. Thankfully, I have got over the COVID virus, and I'm able to be with you once again. Now, we're going to be looking at Psalm 19, but before we turn to it, we're turning to the New Testament and to 2 Peter. 2 Peter, that's away over almost at the end of the New Testament. And we're looking at 2 Peter and reading from the chapter 3, and the verse 7 is where we're going to start our reading. Verse 7, 2 Peter chapter 3. And here's what it says. Are you following? But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store. You know what it means to keep something in store? We have a store here, haven't we? And in it you will find books and pens and pencils that are stored away for use in the future. Well, the earth, the heavens, presently, are kept by God in store. He's going to do something with them in the future. But presently, they're kept in store. Now, something that is in a store is secure, is safe. So all the people who are galloping around the world with placards, much alarmed about the earth, thinking it's going to die, and it's going to decay, and everything is going to disappear, and all the ice will melt, and all the animals will die, and wrong. That will not happen, because God is keeping the earth in store. He has a purpose for it, and when His time comes, He's going to open the store, and He's going to deal with the earth according to His plan. I want you to notice that here in the words of Peter. Verse 7 again, we'll read it, but the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, preserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering, puts up with a lot, patient, that's what it means, to usward, not willing that any of us should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come, as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein, shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation or life, style, and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. We leave it there. That brings us to the end of this age, and it shows us what God's plan is for this earth. So don't you be listening to David Attenborough and all his disciples who tell you that we are in danger of seeing the earth destroyed by man. Now, man is destructive. Man is a vandal. And every time you unwrap a sweet, roll up the paper and throw it over your shoulder, that's vandalism. And man's doing that throughout the world. And he's been doing that for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. And when you do that, you're bound to create a mess. And man has been doing that in the world. There's no doubt about that. But that will not bring the world to an end. It is God who will bring the world to the end that He has planned for it. Right. Having said that, by way of preparation, we're turning now to Psalm 19. New psalm, new study, and I trust that the Lord will be pleased to bless you as we turn to this psalm. And as we turn, we're going to read one verse, just one verse, the very first verse of Psalm 19. Have you got it? The heavens declare, announce, speak out, explain. That's what the heavens do. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth, puts on display his handiwork. As I say, this is a new study we're beginning, and I'm going to call this new study, and I want you to think about this title, The Ever Open Bible, which is seldom read. The Ever Open Bible, which is seldom read. Now, there are plenty of Bibles in this world that are never opened. They sit on a shelf in the house, never opened or read. But there's another Bible that's open all the time. But sadly, it's seldom read either. And the second Bible that I'm talking about is, of course, what David here is referring to. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. It was open as you drove to school this morning, right above you, and all around you, an open Bible that declares the glory of God and shows the work of his hands. So that's the study that we're going to be looking at as we consider what is said here in Psalm 19. I do want you to take note of the fact that this psalm has been written by David. And he is writing, I believe, about what he would have seen when he was a shepherd boy. Now, you just imagine a lad, not much bigger than some of you, who would have been sent out by his dad to look after the flock of sheep. Now, looking after the flock of sheep entailed a lot of sitting around, because you see, the sheep were just grazing. Wherever there was grass, they stopped and they ate and they ate and they ate and they ate and they ate. There's sheep in the field across the road there. And if you're out playing, take a moment just to look at them. I hope they're still there. They were there a day or so ago. And just notice how they are standing here, there and everywhere in the field, munching. Well, David, you could imagine him, he would have been sitting on the wall over there, just watching them, seeing that none of them were getting into any danger or harm. But he had a lot of time in his hand, sitting on the wall. And he wouldn't only have looked at the sheep, but he would have looked up, and he would have seen the sun shining in its glory. He would have seen the clouds drifting across the sky, containing rain, so necessary in Israel. And then, as the sun set, and he would have probably brought the sheep into a fold for the night, he would have seen the stars emerging, and he noted all these things. An awful lot of people don't. An awful lot of people don't. Never look up, never look around them. Because David not only looked up and saw the sun and the stars and the clouds and the wonders that were above, but it says he noticed also the firmament, the earth itself. He saw the trees. He saw the animals, the sheep and other animals. He saw the grass. He saw the flowers. He saw the birds flying above him. And all of this he pondered, thought about, and recognized. This is what God has done. This is what God has done. I tell you, there's very few who are like David. The vast, vast majority of people never think of God when they look around them, because they're too busy occupied with the things of this earth, their well-being, their money-making, their pleasure-seeking. That's what occupies them, and they never see all that is displayed concerning God around them. Well, David, a diligent shepherd he was, but he saw more than the sheep. He saw God displayed in the creation. What a revelation he received. I've called it another Bible. It is another Bible. It has a message for everybody if they would but look at it and hear what the creation says. The heavens declare. They earth shows. Did you ever notice the print in your Bible? The nice, neat, beautiful print? Well, if you look around you, you will see that God has written in an even more beautiful style the truths that are enlarged upon in the Word of God. God has used the flowers. He's used the little creatures that fly about. The bees, the ladybirds, the beautiful birds that we see all around us. He has used them to write the story of what He has done. And which He has done for us, because the earth was made for us. The earth was made for us. God made the earth and then He made man and placed him in the earth. This earth was made for you. For you to enjoy. For you to enjoy. So, I want us to see what David has to say here in this word. The verse 1 again then. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. Verses 1 and 2. Have you heard what the heavens say? Have you heard the voice of the heavens? Have you seen the display that the earth puts on, seeking to impart knowledge to you? David did. David did. He was only a young lad when he saw all these things, though it may have been later in life that he wrote this psalm, but nevertheless he's writing in this psalm what he observed as a teenager. Oh, how many teenagers take any note of God's creation? He took note. He heard. He saw the message of God written in the creation. The heavens declare the glory of God. I just want to emphasize that here is a great declaration that everyone should take heed to. Every one of you here should take heed to what it is declared out there. Take a moment when you go out, break time. I know you're going out to have fun, and that's very proper. But take a moment, just look around you, and think, and see if you can hear what David heard, and see the message David saw. Let me first of all say about this declaration, this message. It's very concise. Now, I believe a preacher should not only preach the truth of God and explain the truth of God, but as it certainly was back in history, a preacher should teach a little of the English language. And that's why sometimes I would put in a word that perhaps you're not that familiar with. So here we use the word concise. I dare say if I said, what does concise mean, some of you might be able to put up your hand. But what I'm saying is that here is a message that is wonderfully clear. Wonderfully clear. It's concise. It's not complicated. It's set forth in a simple form. It's a concise message that is declared out there. It says, the heavens declare the glory of God. That's what the heavens say. The glory of God. The word glory speaks of the wonders of God's power. The wonders of God's splendor. It sets forth that which belongs to God alone. Every artist who has become famous because of paintings they have done are known by the paintings. The brushwork, the colors, the wonders of detail that are seen in the painting, no one else can do it like this particular artist. And those who are educated in these matters and well-versed in these matters, they can look at the painting and they can say, that's done by so-and-so. I can see his marks all over that painting. Well, when we look out there, we can see the marks of God. It shows His glory. It shows His wonders, His wisdom, His power. I think it too, it shows His love. That God should have created such a world as this to put us in shows His love. Shows His love. Shows His concern for the well-being of His people and His creatures. So that the message of the heavens and the earth is simply the glory of God, the wonders of God. Did you ever wonder at what you see? Have you? In Exodus chapter 16 and the verse 10, we read this, "And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in a cloud." We call that, as we are taught by the Bible to do so, the Shekinah glory of God. The visible manifestation of the glory of God. And God showed himself at a distance. It was in the wilderness, away from the camp of Israel to some degree. He showed the glory that he wanted the people to see. We can't even begin to describe what it was they saw. It's not set forth in the scriptures. We're not told what exactly it was, but it was awe-inspiring. On other occasions when this happened, we read of them all falling down on their faces before God. Well, something of what they saw is to be seen out there when you look up and when you look around. For the heavens declare the same glory as Israel saw when God manifested himself to them. It's a concise message. It's a simple message. Something else, it's a continual message. That's why I have given this study the title, The Ever Open Bible. When we finish here in our study this morning, what will we do? We'll close our Bibles and we'll set them carefully aside, isn't that right? But outside there's a Bible that is never shut, never shut. It's always open, displaying the glory of God. It's a continuum. It's open even at night. How would I put it? At night time, it's as if God turned over a page and showed you something different. During the day, it's the sun, it's the creatures, it's the flowers, it's a million things. But at night time, the sun goes, the creatures all retreat, the flowers even close up at night. But something else is put on display, the stars. They come out. Sadly, in this country, there is so much light. Even here in Kilskerry, at night, it's lit up. Wee Kilskerry. These street lights light the whole place up so that it's never completely dark. When I was a lad your size, I lived far, far away from street lights. And when you went out at night, it was pitch black. When you looked up, you could see millions of stars. Millions of stars. Now when you go out, because of the street lights and all the lights there are, you can't really see the stars as clearly as we should. Do you know the funny thing? If today I could take you all down a well, right down deep into the well, and we were to look up, and there would be the circle of the mouth of the well, and we'd see the stars, clearly see the stars. Even though when we were out of the well, we looked up and we couldn't see the stars. The sky was light and bright. But you see, by going down the well, we go down into darkness, and we cut out the sunlight. And as we would look up, we'd see the stars, because they're there all the time. Even though you go out and you look up, and you can't see the stars, they're there. They are there to be seen. It's a continual message, boys and girls. God is speaking continually to men. But oh, how few ever hear him or see the message that he declares. Now, it's a very clear message. That's the third thing. It's concise. It's continual. It's clear. I could give you a Bible written in Hebrew and you couldn't make out a word of it. I could give you a Bible written in Greek and you couldn't make out a word of it. Or a Bible written in German or French, Arabic, or Japanese, or Chinese. And you couldn't make out a word of it. And of course, if we were to give our Bible to a Chinaman or a Japanese man, he couldn't read. What was this? But the Chinaman and the Japanese man and you can go out and look, and each one, no matter where we live, we can read the message of God in creation. No matter what language we speak, we can read God's message written out there in creation. David said, "The heavens declare the glory of God." But David spoke Hebrew. But he had no trouble reading God's message, just as we had no trouble, we who speak English, with a bit of Tyrone thrown in and maybe a bit of Fermanagh as well, but even so we can still read God's message. It's clear. Clear in what it says. And yet men misread it, such as the blindness and the deceiving influences of the devil and sin. Man looks out on the clear message of God and gets it wrong. He looks out on the stars and somehow or other he thinks they made themselves. He looks out on the animals and somehow or other he thinks they made themselves. He looks in the mirror at himself and he thinks somehow or other I made myself. But no, the message is God made all these things. As the hymn writer says, God made me for himself. But men get it wrong because of sin, or sinful hearts, or sinful minds, or deceived. Psalm 14 verse 1 says this, The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. Only a fool denies the existence of God. Oh, boys and girls, that's the spirit of this age. Especially, it is the spirit of this age. Oh, there always were fools who denied the existence of God, but I believe there never has been as many fools as there are today. Today, the deniers of God are looked upon as the wisest men that live. I can't help but think of poor, and I do pity the man, David Attenborough. He's admired the world over. But he's a fool because he denies the Creator. He says that the world and all that in it wasn't produced by God. That makes him a fool, if not the chief of fools. One last thing, quickly. It's a complete message. Man has nothing else to learn when he learns all that the heavens and the earth declare. Out there, displayed for us, is all that God would have us to know. Every truth is written in the heavens and in the creation round about. Now, it requires us to turn to the Bible to get a detailed explanation of what is written in the heavens and in the earth. You and I could look out on the heavens and the earth and study it most keenly and see certain glorious truths set forth, but we have to go to the Bible to get the full explanation of all that's set forth out there in the heavens. I mean, I look out and you can look out and you can see God there. God has made all this, yes, but I want to know more about God. I want to know more by way of detail concerning his love, his mercy, his grace. I want to know about how he has planned and purposed to save me. All that's, I use the word hint, all that is hinted at out there in the heaven. God's love is seen in that he has made such a wonderful world for us. His care for us is seen out there. But it's only when I turn to the Bible that I find just how much he loved me. As we read in John 3 and 16, and here we close, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. As I say, out there as we look up and look around, that's hinted at. But it's only in the Bible you'll get the details. That's why we must read our Bibles. The heavens and the earth would tell us, read your Bible to get the full picture. Oh, that you would do that, boys and girls. That you would understand the message of the heavens and the earth. Then the Lord bless his word to your hearts, one and all. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, we can but ask thee to have mercy. How faint is our eyes, how limited our understanding. How little we see and know of what God is saying in the heavens and in the Bible. Open our eyes to behold wondrous things out of thy law, we pray. Bless the boys and the girls today. Take care of the school. Those who go out on their research, bless them. Take care of us one and all, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.